Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that. And we know that God is always good. And we need to acknowledge that and thank Him on a regular basis. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, look with me to the book of Romans in chapter 3. Romans in chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 10 this morning. The book of Romans in chapter 3. If you would, if you found that, if you go ahead and stand with me, if you're able to. As I read, you follow right along with me. Romans chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, what? What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who hath taken vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we again thank you for opportunity that you made available for us to be assembled here together today. Thank you for what we've already received. But now, Father, as we look into the holy word that you have preserved for us, I pray, God, that you would give us understanding and insight into this passage of scripture that we might be strengthened by it. I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Jesus came, and it's recorded in the Gospels, he fulfilled the Old Testament law. He's ushering in the New Testament Christianity. He, by example, is doing this. After he ascended, we find the book of Acts is recording a transitional period of time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Two of the mysteries, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, the New Testament church, somewhat of a mystery in the Old Testament, but the New Testament church opened up to Gentiles, always being God's will that for God so loved the world, all people, would come together and be a part of the very same called out assembly, be a part of the church for the New Testament church age. And then we find in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, it's Paul's letters under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And he writes to the believers that are in Rome. Believers, both Jews and Gentiles. And as there are more and more Gentiles coming to God through Jesus Christ, the gospel that has been presented. And in the book of Romans, this letter is first given to clearly verify that when it came to salvation, and when it comes to salvation, there was no difference between the Jews and everyone else, which is recorded as the Gentiles. You're either Jew or Gentile, and this concept of things, if you're not Jew, then you're Gentile. And the book of Romans in chapter 3 says, what then, are we better than they? No. Jews are not better than the Gentiles. God is no respecter of persons. We've seen this last Wednesday night studying the life of the Apostle Peter. In no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We're all sinners. We're born with a sin nature in need of salvation. And there's no difference of salvation between anybody. Everyone, Jews and Gentiles, all around the world, if you are saved, you come to Christ the very same way. Because we're all sinners. None righteous, no, not one. Look down at verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. There's no one that was ever born that was born without a sin nature. The only one that was born without a sin nature was Jesus himself, and that's because he was God, as we'll see in just a little bit later. But for all have sinned because we all have a sin nature and come short of the glory of God. In verse 29, then he says, is he the God of the Jews only? And again, Paul says, he is not. He is not also of the Gentiles. Yes, of the Gentiles also. So the question is, he the Jews only, or is he the God of the Jews and the Gentiles? Paul says, yes, he is the Gentiles also. He is a God of the Jews and the Gentiles. But as this was being presented to the Jews, especially by Christ when he was here, they rejected that. By Peter and the apostles during the apostolic age, there was many Jews that continued to reject that. As Paul writes in this book of Romans, the Jews are continuing to reject it. There were many Jews who would not accept this truth. They did not want to accept this truth. And so we find Romans in chapter 3 in verse 1, it says, what advantage then hath the Jew? They want to know, of what profit is there of circumcision? That was the key to the Jews, was a circumcision of after the Abrahamic covenant, and that identified them as a Jew. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them there was a difference. There's no doubt about it, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. That means that they received the Old Testament scriptures, which was the very beginning of an understanding of who God is. So we know that, yes, there is a difference, and God made a difference in the chosen Israel to be the chosen people of God, and the Jews and circumcision and all that went along with that. And yes, God has special plans for the Jew, but that's later on. The millennial reign on the earth, that is going to be dealing with the Jews and the 144,000. We don't want to get into all that, the prophecy of all that, but there is a difference concerning God's chosen people, and he did give them this idea of circumcision, and he did give them the oracles or the Old Testament scriptures. But now we're in the New Testament. The Messiah has come. And so they were saying here in verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? If you will, they were saying, if we would not believe the teachings of Christ and the apostles, it would make void what they taught. And that's not true. That's what Paul's saying here. No, that's not true. If you would, even in our, this very same principle is a part of humanity today, all around the world. If I reject what I do not want to accept as truth, it will not be true. I tell you, we all have crossed that bridge at some point. If I reject what I do not want to accept as truth, then surely, if I reject it long enough and loud enough, it'll not be true. And then Paul makes this statement. I love this statement, which we're going to preach on this morning. In verse 4, God forbid. Not Paul, not the apostles, not the church. But let's look to God, the creator of all things. God forbid. Yea, let God be true. And anyone that wants to be in disagreement with what God says, let every man a liar. If a man goes opposite what the Bible teaches, if a man goes opposite what God says, then let God be true. Don't listen to man, because is he's lying to you if he is trying to teach you or preach to you or get you to believe something other than what God has given to us. What God has said. That's what Paul is writing, and that's what Paul is trying to get across to the Jews. And that's what the Bible records for us to help us. God forbid. Yea, this is what you need to focus on. Let God be true. Can I tell you that God is true? No matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody says, God is true. I love what Paul would write to Titus, and he said, God that we serve, he cannot lie. That's the attributes of God. There's no deception in him. There is no lies in him. There's only truth. He's God. Even in the Old Testament, I love what God gave us through the prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 24 and verse 25, as he is prophesying to the nation of Israel. Let me read to you. He says this, for there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divinations within the house of Israel. People saying, I've got a message from God, and this is what it is. And they're doing it for their own reasons and their own purposes. And God says, for I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Basically the same thing Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, let God be true. Because it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Unbelief in any of God's truths will never make void what God says. A lot of things going on today. And the election. Ultimately, it will be decided. Many believe it's already been decided. It just has not been presented as of yet. And I'll let you believe whatever you want to believe on that. But the idea of it is, even once it's been decided, there'll be many who will not want to accept the election results. 4 years ago, there's still people that have not accepted 4 years ago the election results. And they've been miserable for 4 years. No matter what the results, I'm not going to be miserable for another 4 years. No matter what the results, I don't want any, God does not want any of his children to be miserable for 4 years. But it will be the election results. Can I tell you, we need to accept truth and move on. If it's something that has been established, no matter if it was wrong or not, no matter what, how it got to where it is, once it has been presented and it has been established, you accept it and you move on. You don't live in the past and you don't live without accepting things that are reality. There's some that cannot accept their age. That's sad when you find people that cannot accept their age. The reality is, you are whatever age you are based on when you were born. Accept it. Accept it and move on at your age. People are miserable today because they can't accept whatever age they're at. But it's a reality. Accept it. Not that you like it or don't, what it's reality. And so if it's true, then you have to accept it and you move on. Some have lost their jobs. Laid off, some fired. And they still can't believe it. And if you don't accept it and you live in denial, you're going to be in trouble for the rest of your life. Accept it. It's true. You were fired. You were laid off. You lost your job. It's what has happened. It is true. It is history at this point, and you have to accept it and look to God to move on. Divorce. Some sad things. I dealt with a lady, it's been years back, but she had been divorced for over 20 years. Her ex-husband had already been remarried. He had already had several children, and she would still not accept the fact that she had been divorced. And she was still looking for God to bring him back into her life. 20 years later, he's already remarried. He has other children and moving on with, listen to me. No, you might not want it to happen, and you might not even want to accept it. But if it's reality, you have to accept truth. Reality is true. You can't change truth. I love this. This is the principle that Paul is trying to get across to all of the Jews that do not want to accept the teachings of Christ, the plan that God had, the New Testament church, where everyone gets saved the very same way, and there's no hierarchy in the church, and there's no one that's any more important than anyone else, and we all come together and we make up the body of Christ, and we all get to that place the very same way through the blood. And people were miserable because they did not want to accept it. Matter of fact, they thought if they rejected it long enough, that it would make it void. The Bible says, not so. Let God be true. And anyone that's trying to persuade you against what God has established as truth is a liar. Don't listen to them. Stay focused on God's truth and move on. Wow. Now that's powerful stuff right there. Yeah. Reality is reality. Truth is truth. We have to accept it and move on. Let God be true. He is true. The question is, have we accepted it? Your life right now could be better if you accept God's truths and look to God to help you to move on. Your life can be miserable if you've not just accepted the reality of truth, especially when it comes to the words of God. That idea, let, is a key word right here. For you and I to be able to move on and be blessed and accomplish all that God has, we have to let. Because we're not robotic. God's given us a free will. We will choose what we believe. And the Bible says to us, let. That means accept. Allow. Welcome. Embrace it. Let. That's something you have to do. Something I have to do. No one else can do that for you. You have to individually, we have to individually let, accept, if you will, God be true, live and think accordingly. Live and think, have a mindset of truth. The first most important truth that God has revealed to us is what Paul is dealing with here is, do I believe that Jesus is God? If Jesus is God, then what he presented to us is of God. It is true. No matter what you might have thought before, no matter where you've come from, what's your background, if Jesus is God, then what Jesus Christ taught, New Testament Christianity, is true. John chapter 1, let's make sure that we understand what he taught, what the Bible, what he revealed as truth concerning himself. In John chapter 1, you find it throughout the Gospels. They're presenting Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. But the Bible says here in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, before God chose Israel, before God chose Jews to receive the oracles of God, and be the chosen nation of God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's very important that we understand the Word was God. In verse 11, he came into his own. Jesus, the Word, came. And he came to his own, the Jews. And his own received him not. They didn't want to believe the truth that he presented. But as many as received him, Jews and Gentiles, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, not those that were to be circumcised. But those that believed on his name, those who believed in Christ, believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. He says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that was there in the beginning, that was with God and that was God, that's Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, and that flesh was the physical body of the Messiah, the physical body of Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. To show us and give us an example of how we were to live our lives, Christianity, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the teachings of who Jesus is. Do we believe that? Are we living as if we believe this truth? God was here. You have to believe, if you believe that Jesus, the Word, was made flesh, and that God actually came to earth. He took on the form of a man so that we could physically see God as a man. Not to glorify man, but glorify God as a man. Because he loved us enough for him to come and to reveal that he is God. And it was God walking on the face of the earth. And he proved himself God by the many miracles and the wonders and all the things that he did. But more importantly than that, he showed a love for humanity and that he laid his life down on Calvary's cross. 2,000 years ago, God, who was manifest in the flesh, gave his life, was crucified, suffered beyond what we can imagine to pay a sin debt that you and I owe and couldn't pay because we're all sinners, Jews and Gentiles alike. But that's not the most important thing. He showed himself as God. He was crucified. He died. But he resurrected. And after he resurrected and after he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish with the apostles, he ascended up into glory, which ought to eliminate any question we have as far as, is there a God? Because God walked on the earth. He established New Testament Christianity, by which we are 2,000 years later still living by and still looking to, because it's truth. And now he is in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. Listen, what I want you to see is he's not on earth any longer. He's not in a tomb. He's not in the ground. He's no longer on earth. Wherever he is, and he is somewhere because we've seen him alive and we saw him ascend into heaven, wherever he is heaven. So stop questioning whether there's a heaven or not, because Jesus is there. Now, the idea of heaven, is it beyond the stars? Is it beyond outer space? I believe it to be a different dimension. It's somewhat encompassed all around us. And when we die, our spirits go to be with him. But it is a place of heaven. It is the kingdom of God. And stop trying to figure out all of the, I guess, the aspects of what heaven and where heaven is. Just know that it's real. And if you believe that there is a God, you can know that there is a God because of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that there's a heaven, and you can know there's a heaven because Jesus is there, he's no longer here. And if he's no longer here, he resurrected and he's there today. Listen to me, that will change our lives. No matter who is elected president. No matter what kind of dictators you have in the world. God is true. His promises are true. Heaven is real. That'll change your life if you accept it instead of trying to deny it. The Bible is God's word. It will never change. no matter how badly some want to change it. That'll change your life when you realize Jesus is the Savior, the only begotten, the only plan that God has for people to get saved. You get saved, you're going to go to heaven when you die. That's, praise the Lord, that's a game changer right there. And as long as we live on this earth, we have the Bible to look to. Because it's God's truth. It's God's word. God's word. Now stop and think about that. You hear of a new book coming out, and you hear of somebody, just a new author, writing something. Most people want to go out and be the first ones in line, especially if they're there to sign a copy of it. Praise the Lord. You want that because you want to hear what this guy has to write on whatever topic it might be. And yeah, I think we need to read. But if we get that excited about a human author, why aren't we overly excited about the Bible? If you know it to be the very words of God, a creator God. If you truly believe that, wouldn't you want to read it? Wouldn't you want to know what it says? It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Matthew chapter 24. This is what Jesus said about it. Matthew, and several other things, but just quickly here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. Verily, and this is what Jesus is teaching. Verily, I say unto you, this generation, church age, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Wouldn't you want to know what are these things that were given us that would be fulfilled? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Let God be true. Let God be true. If somebody's trying to tell you that we do not have every word that God wants us to live by today, that's a liar. Because God tells us we do have it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what God expects from us. That's what we ought to have a desire to do, is to understand and learn about every word and then live by that. It'll change your life. Unless you start listening to those who disagree, those who want to convince you that we don't have it. They want to take out what they don't want to be true, so it doesn't hinder their lifestyle. But what the Bible says. For the English-speaking people, it's this King James Version of the Bible. It's what God's preserved for us so that we could have every word. You believe it. Change your life. Life begins in the womb. Even, I can't understand this, but even some who put their faith in Jesus Christ that claim to be Christian have been so persuaded by the world that they question that. And yet that's one of the greatest topics today. And it's one of the things that Satan's using to destroy a lot of people's minds. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, let me just read it to you here. But Jeremiah chapter 1, the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. This is what the Bible says, oracles of God. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, what is it? It's the word of the Lord. It's truth. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He knew the spirit, and he put the spirit in the womb and formed the body. Amen. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee. God had a purpose for every life that's been in every womb. I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. There should be no question where believers should stand. And there should be no question that a believer should not support anything that goes opposite the teachings of God. It's a life changer. When you understand the sanctity of life in the womb. Hell. It's a prepared place to hold a real devil, his demons or his angels, and all unbelievers for an eternity. Well, preacher, surely you don't believe in a literal hell. You can't still believe in a literal hell. How can a loving God have such a place prepared for those, for anybody? How can God actually put people in a place that he does not? He has done everything that he possibly could do with you having a free will to keep you from ever going to a place of eternal damnation. But hell is real. Matthew chapter 25. I'm almost done here, but follow with me because these are life changers. Understanding these truths. Just because you do not want to believe it will never make it void. It is reality. It is truth. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Jesus said, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Those on the left hand are those that fail to receive Christ as their Savior. Those on the right hand are those that have been saved. But he will say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Jesus said, everlasting fire. Can I tell you that he cannot lie? It is everlasting fire. Prepared. Hell is a prepared place for the devil and his angels. Hell is real. No matter how much you don't want to believe that, no matter how much you reject that, it will not change the truth. The reality of an eternal place of hell needs to be understood, needs to be believed. One last thing. Let God be true. Once saved, always saved. And not only always saved, but we'll always have God as our Heavenly Father. That's a game changer. If you know that you're saved, and you know who God is, Creator God is, and that he has you in the palm of his hand, how could you ever fear anything? How could you ever get so messed up in your mind and caught up in so much worry? How could you ever be discouraged? If you just truly believed. John chapter 10, we're done. John chapter 10. 24/7. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You just got to make sure that you're saved. Tonight we're going to be looking at the straight and narrow. God's plan for salvation, God's plans for our living on this earth, on the Sermon on the Mount. Powerful. You have to be back for that. But once you know that you have done what the Bible says a person must do, based on the words of a God who cannot lie, you have been given everlasting, eternal life. And Jesus presents it here in John chapter 10 and verse 27. And he says, my sheep, if you're truly saved, you're his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let God be true. You have to accept that because it's his truth. And when you accept that and you let God be true, listen to me, you don't have to ever worry because you're in the hand of the Creator God. And no matter what takes place on earth, this is a temporary place. We have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. What joy, what comfort, what great peace when you let, individually let, you have to let, you have to accept, you have to bring it into your existence, bring it into your mind, bring it into your life. God be true. I could have every head bowed this morning. Every eye closed. I want you to think about it. Does your life and your thinking right now reflect on your genuine belief in God, His Word, His ways, His promises? Whatever has blinded you to the truth of God, you need to reject. It's a lie. Look to God and receive His truth. Salvation, then a life honoring the Savior. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I thank you for, as Paul was trying to get this across and did get it across to the Jews concerning the Gentiles and God's purpose and plan, help us, Lord, in every area of our thinking to look to your truths. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.